On our recent road trip to Memphis, Hannah piped up from the back seat with those words that every parent loves to hear. Are we there yet? Now, guys, we had not even made it to Livingston yet. Okay. For those not familiar with geography around here, that's about an hour. We had 9.5 to 11 to go. It was going to be a very long trip. Are we there yet? But if you think about it, she's had a very long season of Christmas waiting, right? 4 is a hard time in life because she had been counting down the days until Christmas came from about 60, right? And we keep a calendar on the wall starting at 31, and she was counting that down. And then she had to wait while she would see these presents underneath the tree and be able to read her name on them, but not be able to open them. Do you know how difficult that is? And we wouldn't even let her shake them, right? And then having to ride a long way in a car to go and see family, and then having to wait one more day until Christmas morning. Okay, waiting is hard. When you're 4... but no matter what your age. And as we wait, waiting tends to breed 2 results within us. It breeds a sense of anticipation, right? As we just yearn to see what's going to happen, and it gets us excited. But then sometimes it also breeds frustration, because we are just waiting to see what's going to happen. So we waver between that anticipation and that frustration. And waiting can be hard because there's something within us that tells us we ought to be doing something. Accomplishing, well, anything, that's better than nothing, right? Just doing something besides sitting around and waiting. Because waiting feels like inaction. Dare we even say maybe laziness. Waiting is hard work because it is hard to do. Our text this morning is in Acts chapter 1. Acts is the second volume of Luke's work. Luke was this Greco-Roman physician. He was a Gentile who had become a follower of Jesus and a friend of Paul. And we really don't know his conversion story, how all of this came to be. But at some point, Luke sat down to write a detailed accounting of all the things that he knew and believed about Jesus. He had done research and study, and he wants to lay out the story of Christ and Christianity. And so the first part of his work is the Gospel of Luke. It's the beginning of the story. It's telling about the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And then the second part, the second volume of his work, is the book of Acts, which talks about the founding of the early church as it spreads from this tiny little movement in the city of Jerusalem, in this backwater province, to the very ends of the earth within about 30 years. And for Luke, these aren't 2 different stories, but they're a continuation of the same narrative. This is the story of God's redeeming work that began through Jesus and then continued in the life and work of Jesus' followers. This is how Luke begins his volume, starting in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all the things Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. Luke is telling us that Jesus' work began in the Gospels, and then it continues through the work of his people after he ascended up to heaven. And so in this in-between time, between Jesus rising from death and then rising into heaven, Jesus continued to meet with groups of his disciples after he was raised to life. For that 40 days, he appears to various groups of different sizes, but he spent time with the 12 most of all. And on one of those occasions, while he was eating with them, Jesus lays out the plan that he wants them to accomplish. This is going to be their continuing mission, their guiding directive. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth." As they gather around him, Jesus tells them that they have a job to do. You are to be my witnesses. Where? Everywhere. Starting here in Jerusalem, but then spreading out in these concentric circles until you reach the very ends of the earth. And how important is this? It is so important that these are Jesus' final words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and in Acts. The last thing Jesus leaves with them is the mission that he wants them to accomplish. And when do you need to do it? Well, wait. Now, if you're the disciples sitting at the table, imagine how this sounds. For 3 years or so, you have been following Jesus. You have been listening and learning and laboring in ministry. Now, for 3 days, you thought your rabbi, your friend, your mentor was dead. And then somehow, with great joy and still in stunned disbelief, you discovered that he had come to life again. And for 40 days or so, you had spent time with him, both in Jerusalem and in Galilee, and then back again. You have been waiting and anticipating. Is this the time? Is this the moment? And now their anticipation boils over. Lord, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus ignores their question, and he tells them to wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit arrives. Wait for the Spirit's power and guidance and prompting. Wait for God to show up. Wait. For 10 more days, according to Luke's account. Because you have the mission, but you don't have the power. You need the power to witness, the power to preach, the power to proclaim the good news, the power to minister. You see, they have the mission, they have the drive, but they don't have the power. So wait until the Spirit arrives. Because Jesus wants us to know that there is no mission and no witness and no future without the Holy Spirit. Indeed, to not wait on the Spirit would be an act of disobedience for them. But waiting can be hard. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but this month marks the 80th birthday of our congregation here. We should sing happy birthday, maybe, right? But 80 years that West University has been here. We are now octogenarians, people. Congratulations, we've made it. Back in January of 1939, there was a small group of Christians led by E.C. Kaufman who began to meet in a small suburb of Houston. Now, that's hard for us to think about, right? That this was at one point the edge of town and that there were cows grazing not far from here. But in 1939, they believed that this new little community of West University Place needed to have another church in it. A Church of Christ congregation was needed here to be a witness of God's goodness and grace. There were just a couple of families and individuals numbering about 30 to 35 people. And they started off meeting in various homes, and then they moved to places around the neighborhood, including a theater and a gymnasium and a civic center. But they were people who stepped out on faith. And then over the course of the next 11 years, they decided to purchase facilities here at 3407 Bissonnette, and they finished their building in 1950. And over the course of the church's first 40 years or so, it grew from about 30 people to approximately 570. A new building was constructed and then expanded over 4 times. Numerous other congregations in our city and the surrounding area were started by West University members who had the foresight to reach out to new places and new populations, especially as they began to move there themselves. It's a church that has supported various missionaries and locations around the world. And we've started new ministries here, including outreach to Texas Medical Center. But in the 1980s, our church began a slow decline. And in part, that is just the life cycle of a church. As you get older, you physically start to slow down. As churches get older, they also physically start to slow down. In part, it's just the life cycle of a church. In part, it was also the changing dynamics of our neighborhood. As West University Place changed from kind of small, older houses that were then bought up and torn down and made way for larger homes that drove up property taxes. And so people just said, we're going to go somewhere a little bit cheaper. And then new churches take new people. And so people began moving to the suburbs to help start those churches and commuting into work. And so our numbers here began to decline. Now, that's the reality of our situation, okay? But I also want us to know that it says absolutely nothing about the goodness of God, nor the efficacy or the faithfulness of his people and his church. That says nothing about whether or not we were doing our jobs. Indeed, our church here, we continued to bless people. We shared good news. We proclaimed hope. We ministered to the sick, and we mourned with those who mourned, and we brought joy to those who needed it. And our church continued to bless others, even in the midst of difficult times. And in the course of our 80 years here, there have been some very difficult times, if we're just being honest. But through it all, God has always been good. God has always been faithful. And West University has had some good, godly people. And for those of you who have been here for a while, and that could be a couple of years all the way up to our longest serving resident is Beverly Arnold. She was 6 months old when she moved to this congregation, and the church was about 6 months old as well. So I always remember how old Beverly is based on how old our church is. She would not want me to say that, by the way, so I apologize. We love you. Okay. But I want you to think, in the course of time that you've been here, whether it is 6 months or 79 and a half years, about some of the people who have been a part of this church that have blessed your life. Just think on some of those individuals. Because we have people here like the legacy of Olga Money, who wrote children's curriculum, some of which still gets used. We have people like W.C. Whiteside, a blessing for generations. And David and Adele Deloney, whose marriage influenced mine in many different ways. We have Glenn McDaniel and Roger Rue and Burton Kaufman and Sean Jones and Ralph Arnold. And that's just a small smattering of people. But it's a legacy of love and faith that has blessed and influenced so many. Megan and I were blessed to arrive here in September of 2012, and we love our congregation here. We love you people. We've been blessed by your lives and by sharing your life with us. One of the things that became apparent pretty quickly after we moved here, however, was that our church was continuing to decline. I'm going to just put a graph up on the screen. There's our church building. Sorry, skipped a slide there. Well, somehow that's unreadable at the moment. That's okay. This shows you from 2014 until last year, 2018, our current attendance average. On average, we have lost about 3 to 4 people a year. Now, we've gained an awful lot of people. There are a lot of new faces in the crowd since I moved here 6.5 years ago. New people are continuing to join, but on average, it didn't keep up with the number of people that we've been losing. Our average weekly attendance has continued to decline, although in 2018, it went up pretty dramatically. And here's some amazing things that have been a part of that. Our giving has actually been relatively constant. We're not financially hurting, which is a blessing, but that also tells us that people are having to step up and take up a lot of the financial slack. The number of ministries we do has continued to rise, actually, even as our numbers have continued to go down a little bit. And that puts a strain on the number of volunteers in each ministry. And especially, I know that is felt a lot of times in children's ministry as well. It's been difficult to find people who are willing to teach or to help in worship. Now, as I put the realities on the board, I want us to remember that through it all, God has always been good. That God has always been faithful, and West University has always had some very good and godly people. In 2017, after a lot of prayer and thought and research, the ministers and elders decided to hire a church consulting group to kind of help us revision and re-strategize for ministry. And so we asked a group from the Churches of Christ named the Kairos Church Planning Group to come alongside of us as we looked at our church's history and heritage, as we talked about who we have been for the last 79 plus years. And then we discovered where we are currently. And we dreamed about what God wanted us to become. And so Stan and Gina Granberg were a couple that came alongside of us, and we assembled a team of 16 individuals from our congregation to help us think through some of those questions. And throughout that process, we discovered some of our strengths here. Strengths like our small groups. And we have a church that is full of loving relationships between members. That there's a lot of love here for one another. And we have a leadership that is empowering and loves their people and wants them to know Christ and to make him known. Those are some of the strengths of who we are. And we also discovered some areas that could use some work. Things like our organizational structures, just how things get done and the manner in which that happens. Or inspiring worship. Or passionate spirituality. And so as we looked at the reality of who we are and where we were, we decided to focus on three main areas throughout 2018. We looked at children's ministry and rethinking and revamping a little bit there. And so Melinda Lackey, along with Olga and Tiffany, sat down and began to think about some action plans and some steps that we could take in our children's ministry. And then we had a group talking about worship ministry, and that was with John Fletcher and Dustin Matthews and Karen Goode and myself, who were thinking about how do we help worship become a place where people can connect more fully with God. And then we have a group looking at just our church structures. That's with Jim and with Paul Vaughn and Roy Rhodes, and then Al Ritchie and Christy McDonald and Megan McGraw have been doing some of that as well. And you're already beginning to see the fruits of some of the work that has happened in 2018. So you watch our kids run by and grab these massive boxes of stuff to keep them busy during worship, and our kids are excited about the things that they're doing in their classes. We've hired Stanley to help us with our worship ministry here and being intentional in how we're putting more of our worship time together. And we're looking for more intentionality in the ways that we pray and the order of our worship services. But an awful lot of the last year has actually just been spent waiting. And waiting is hard work. We spent time praying for guidance from God and then praying about the things we thought we heard and meeting and discussing and garnering and gathering new ideas and time considering options and then more praying. And in general, it was just a time of waiting on God. And if I'm confessing, that's been difficult for me because waiting to me feels like inaction. Dare I say it, even laziness. Because for me, waiting is hard work because it is hard to do. And over the course of the last year, it has built anticipation and frustration, usually both at the same time. I don't know how to figure that one out. But that waiting has been purposeful. Even when we've wondered why it's taking so long. But it allowed us to spend time in prayer, to think about some things that matter, to permit us to chart a course for the future. And it has required us over the course of the last year to really depend on the Holy Spirit for guidance and leadership and power. And the process felt slow, but we believe that God has been at work through this last year. And we're excited to see what God will do over the course of the next, especially 2 years here at West University. Because we believe that God still has plans for us here. We believe that God has a preferred future for us, a plan of who we are and who we will be, and what God is going to do through us and with us. So I'm going to just start laying a little bit of that out really quickly. First, I just want to show you some of the new... This has stopped working for me. Okay, so you're going to see some new branding coming up. We're going to talk about that more later, but that's going to pop up at the top of... Doug, I think all of these have switched to black on me and none of the writing's going to come through. That is okay. If he changes that, that'll be great. If he doesn't, that's okay too. But I want to tell you about the vision statement that we've been thinking about and praying about over the course of the past couple of months. That is this. This is our vision and our mission for who we are. West University wants to exist to grow disciples who love God, experience family, and live with purpose. So we are growing disciples who love God, experience family, and live with purpose. That is why we exist. That is who we believe God is also calling us to be. A group of growing disciples who help grow disciples. And what do disciples do? Well, they love God. And they experience family, and they live with purpose. That's how we grow. That's what it means for us to follow Jesus. And over the course of the next 5 weeks, we're going to be unpacking these ideas and putting meat on them and talking about what this looks like right now and what we hope this looks like over the course of the next 2 years. But my hope is that you hear this phrase so much that it becomes ingrained in your memory and integrated into your speech and internalized in your heart, because we don't want these to be nice words that we throw up on the screen and put up on the wall somewhere. We want these to be things that we live out. We want to be growing disciples who love God, experience family, and live with purpose. And so here's what we believe that means. The first is this. We believe that means we're going to be here. That God is calling us to stay here where we are to be a blessing to our community, our neighborhood, and our city. And we believe that God has a specific mission for us to do in the area of West University and Rice Village and Texas Medical Center and the area around us. This is the place we already know and the place that we love, and we want to continue looking for ways to be a blessing to these people, which means that we want to be good neighbors to the people around us, that we want to find new ways and exciting ways to engage in our community to be a blessing to the people that God has given us to look after. We want to be a church that is multi-ethnic, that reflects the diversity that is here in our city and the diversity that is a part of the kingdom of God. We want it to be a place also that is multi-generational, a place where the young and the not so young can feel connected in meaningful ways in friendship and fellowship with one another and with God, and where we aren't divided by things like the languages that we speak or the foods that we eat or the colors of our skin. We want this to be a place that reflects what the kingdom is all about. And that means multi-generational also means we want to be a church that is helping the next generation come to faith in Christ, to deepen their understanding, to ask the big questions, to seek answers, to look for God so that they can experience God in significant and meaningful ways. And we want to be a church that exists for those who aren't here yet. That church isn't just about coming to a place where we can feel excited and we can grow, but we want other people to grow into disciples of Christ. We want to be a place where they can do that. My dream, this is mine as Daniel, my dream, my vision, we're just going to talk about for the next 2 years, by December of 2020, is this. I'd like to see us grow by 15%. That's 23 individuals. It's not a lot when you think about it. I would love for us to have average worship attendance of about 145. I would like to see us doing active studies to help people come to faith in Christ and engage in the important issues of faith and life together. And I would like for our church to have one ministry that we're not just putting money towards, but we are truly feeling ownership of and giving ourselves to, something that gives us excitement and energy and joy for the kingdom. And over the course of the next few weeks, we'll be giving others in our congregation the opportunity to talk about their vision for 2020. And on January 27th, we're going to have this potluck where we come together, we're going to eat and fellowship, and then you're going to have an opportunity just to talk and to converse about these things so that we can ask big questions and be on the same page as a congregation. So mark that on your calendars to be here for that potluck, January 27th. But we believe that God is at work in these endeavors, and we can't wait to see what God is going to do to use us to be a blessing to one another and to others for his glory. I just want to stop and pray before we move on to pray over some of the things we're talking about here. Let's bow together. Father God, we thank you for you are good. And you are faithful. And you have been to us for the past 80 years as a congregation. And for the past 2,000 as Christianity has existed. And really since the beginning of time. For you are God who is good and faithful and loving and merciful. And Father, help us to know that, to believe that, to live that out, to trust in your goodness, and then to share that with others. Father, for our congregation, we pray that we will be a place that is growing disciples, that we ourselves are growing and we are helping others to grow, a place where people can come to love you, where they can experience what it is like to be part of a family that loves them, and where they can find a way to live their life with meaning and hope and joy and purpose as they go throughout their week. Father, use us. Give us eyes that see. Give us hearts that dream. Give us faith that can move mountains. We pray knowing that you are good because we see it in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Luke actually has two versions of the story that we started with this morning. And they're meant to be read together because this is one story in two volumes. In fact, Luke 24 ends in this way. Jesus has sat down with his disciples and he begins to tell them this. This is what was written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses of these things. And the beautiful thing is that is not something we have to wait on. But that is available to you here and now this morning. That if you want to know more about what God has done, we would love to help you know that. We would love to help you ask questions and to study and to discern for yourself who God is and what he has done. And if you have done that work and you say, I want to know Christ more and I want to make him my Lord, we would love to bring you to faith in Christ and to baptize you in his name this morning. And if today you just say, I need you to pray over something, I need to know joy and hope in my life, then we would love to do that with you this morning. We're going to offer a public time of invitation. If there's a way in which we can bless you this morning, if we can help you come to love God, if you need to experience our family, our family's love and our grace, if you need to find a way to live with purpose this morning, feel free to respond publicly if you need, or grab somebody before you leave and let them know what you need and have them pray with you this morning. But I pray that God has been glorified this morning, that your heart has been touched, that you might dream a dream for our church and what God is going to do. May God receive all the glory. If there's a way we can bless you, feel free to respond. Let's worship together.